all to go around believing in them. It only encourages them."
Granny Weatherwax slowed to a walk.
"What about her?" she said.
"What exactly about her do you mean?"
"You felt the power there?"
"Oh, yeah, it made my hair stand on end."
"Someone gave it to her, and I know who. Just a slip of a girl with a head full of wet ideas out of books, and suddenly she's got the power and don't know how to deal with it. Cards, candles, that's not witchcraft, that's just party games, paddling with the occult. Did you see she'd got black fingernails?"
"Well, mine ain't so clean."
"I mean painted."
"I used to paint my toenails red when I was young," said Nanny wistfully.
"Toenails is different. So's red, anyway," said Granny. "You only did it to appear alluring."
"It worked, too."
"Heh."
They walked along in silence for a bit.
"I felt a lot of power there," Nanny Ogg said, eventually.
"Yes, I know."
"A lot?"
"Yes."
"I'm not saying you couldn't beat her," said Nanny quickly. "I'm not saying that, but I don't reckon I could, and it seemed to me it'd raise a bit of sweat on even you. You'll have to hurt her to beat her."
"I'm losing my judgment, aren't I?"
"Oh, I wouldn't."
"She riled me, Githa. Couldn't help myself. Now I've got to duel with a girl of 17. And if I wins, I'm a wicked bullying old witch. And if I loses..."
She kicked up a drift of old leaves.
"Can't stop myself, that's my trouble."
Nanny Ogg said nothing.
"And I loses me temper over the least little..."
"Yes, but..."
"I hadn't finished talking."
"Sorry, Esme."
A bat fluttered by. Granny nodded to it.
"Heard how Magrat's getting along," she said, in a tone of voice which forced casualness embraced like a corset.
"Settling in fine, our Sean says."
"Right."
They reached a crossroads. The white dust glowed very faintly in the moonlight. One way led into Lancre, where Nanny Ogg lived. Another eventually got lost in the forest, became a footpath, then a track, and eventually reached Granny Weatherwax's cottage.
"When shall we two meet again?" said Nanny Ogg.
"Listen," said Granny Weatherwax. "She's well out of it, do you hear? She'll be a lot happier as a queen."
"I never said nothing," said Nanny Ogg mildly.
"I know you never. I could hear you not saying anything. You've got the loudest silences I ever did hear from anyone who wasn't dead."
"See you about 11 o'clock, then."
"Right."
The wind got up again as Granny walked along the track to her cottage. She knew she was on edge. There was just too much to do. She'd got Magrat sorted out, and Nanny could look after herself. But the lords and ladies, she hadn't counted on them. The point was that Granny Weatherwax had a feeling she was going to die. This was beginning to get on her nerves. Knowing the time of your death is one of those strange bonuses that comes with being a true magic user, and on the whole it is a bonus. Many a wizard has passed away happily drinking the last of his wine cellar and incidentally owing very large sums of money. Granny Weatherwax had always wondered how it felt, what it was that you suddenly saw looming up. And what it turned out to be was a blankness. People think that they live life as a moving dot travelling from the past into the future, with memory streaming out behind them like some kind of mental cometary tail. But memory spreads out in front as well as behind. It's just that most humans aren't good at dealing with it, and so it arrives as premonitions, forebodings, intuitions, and hunches. Witches are good at dealing with it. And to suddenly find a blank where these tendrils of the future should be has much the same effect on a witch as emerging from a cloud bank and seeing a team of Sherpas looking down on him does on an airline pilot. She'd got a few days, and then that was it. She'd always expected to have a bit of time to herself, get the garden in order, have a good clean-up around the place so that whatever witch took over wouldn't think she'd been a sloven, pick out a decent burial plot, and then spend some time sitting out in the rocking chair, doing nothing at all except looking at the trees and thinking about the past. Now, no chance. And other things were happening. Her memory seemed to be playing up. Perhaps this is what happened. Perhaps you just drained away towards the end, like old Nanny Gripes, who ended up putting the cat on the stove and the kettle out for the night. Granny shut the door behind her and lit a candle. There was a box in the dresser drawer. She opened it on the kitchen table and took out the carefully folded piece of paper. There was a pen and ink in there, too. After some thought, she picked up where she'd left off